Welcome to Mind Body Soul Radio, broadcasting from New York City with Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio founder and mystic mama, Alyssa Snow. Awakening, healing, yoga. We're getting real and we're getting gritty because, as they say, no mud, no lotus. And now your host, Alyssa Snow.
Hello, hello. This is Alyssa Snow once again with Mind, Body, Soul Radio. How is everybody? I'm happy to be here again. So let's all tune in together. Close your eyes wherever you are. And we'll land in the same energetic frequency as they are. I honor the Father, the intellect, the healthy problem-solving psychological mind. I honor my Father, all fathers before him and all fathers now. I honor those qualities within him and me and all. I honor the mother, the nurturing, unconditional love of a full heart. I honor my mother, all mothers before her and all mothers now. I honor those qualities within her and me and all. I honor the teacher and the carriers of knowledge that become wisdom. Teachers that come in all forms and all situations, I honor them. I honor the teacher and the wisdom within me and all around me. Life is a teacher and I am its student. I honor God and the loving energy of intentional creation. I honor creation in its natural time. I honor the creation of myself and life all around me. I honor creation as an expression of love. I invite God, the Holy Spirit, my angels and masters, your angels and masters, and all loving beings of the light to join me today in my day, in this recording. Please help me infuse my heart and my mind with the light of my soul, so I may know to surrender and not control. So I wanted to share a story today. It's been a couple of weeks since I've recorded a podcast, and for that I apologize. I might be inconsistent sometimes, but I will always offer more. And so hopefully you subscribe to the podcast station and can get alerts when a new one comes up. I'm hoping to do them at least a couple of times a month now. But the story that I wanted to tell was really personal, again, but I think really, really useful, because I've had a lot of people ask me about what or why one would do a shamanic energy or shamanic medicine ceremony. And I know I talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, where I talked about psychedelics in general and how I've experienced them, and how, I guess, industry or academia is responding to the surge of use of psychedelics for healing and for an expansion of consciousness and an evolution, really, of our consciousness. But I wanted to drill down a little bit more today and tell a story of my most recent medicine ceremony. And the medicine that we used in the ceremony was San Pedro, which is a cactus. I guess the active ingredient is mescaline. And it's important to share, and it's important to communicate that this is not a recreational drug situation. And so I think that that point is misunderstood sometimes when people hear of, you know, people taking San Pedro or ayahuasca or mushrooms or whatever medicine they're taking. People that don't understand think that this is just, you know, people taking drugs. And I'd like to point out that there is a difference, and this isn't mine. A really wise doctor once told me this, who was also a shaman. There's a difference between receiving and taking. And in a ceremonial situation, we are receiving the medicine. We are being given the medicine for our own healing. And a San Pedro ceremony is one that heals your heart. And so I think the best way to describe how this works is to share what happened to me in the last ceremony. And so I'm feeling a little nervous, I have to say, about sharing this story because, you know, once again, I wasn't my best self for a little while, and that caused suffering and also illumination. And so, you know, who's to say what's good or what's bad, right? And so I want to start off by saying that if you don't know, I am a mom and I have three daughters. Ailey, who is my stepdaughter, and Amanda and Lily. And the reason why I guess point out that Miss Ailey is my stepdaughter is because it's a interesting situation where I have a child who I consider my daughter who doesn't consider me her mother. And so this presents some interesting internal conflicts for me. Now I've been in her life since she was 7 years old. And so she is essentially my first child, the first person I got to participate in raising. And as she's grown up, she's shaped into a beautiful young woman, but one that is very different than I. And here's the interesting thing about motherhood, right? These children grow up and they become who they become. And oftentimes, if we are awake enough, conscious enough, we can see them as teachers for us. And now Ailey is someone who is pretty much my opposite in many ways, where I'm very mind focused, she's absent-minded, where I like to plan pretty much everything. I'm working on that, by the way. She plans nothing. Where I need to have the house really, really orderly and cabinets and refrigerator closed, she likes to leave everything open. And so when living together with each other, I think that I drive her crazy with my constant corrections and redirections and requests. And sometimes she drives me crazy. And so in the last couple of months, maybe the last year or so, I have found myself struggling with how to be with her. She doesn't consider me her mom. Well, she has a mom, right? That's okay. She's very, very close with her mom, and she's very, very close with her grandmother, and she spends most of her time with those women. So I don't find that I know how to be with her. Conflict arises when I try to parent her. So I can't do that. She's aloof when I try to befriend her, but I do anyway. But mostly I think sometimes she avoids me. And maybe it's because I'm a pain in the ass, because I'm always asking her to do something she doesn't want to do. Because I am the mom in the house, and I am who I am. And so I give that little introduction to point out that, well, being a stepmom is hard. And it's not like a woe is me type situation, you know, it's not dire, but it has created some discomfort. And so that's a little bit of a backstory, if you will, regarding a relationship in my life that is of paramount importance that isn't really going as I thought it would, right? Necessarily. And so as I prepared for a ceremony, oftentimes what happens in my experience is life arranges itself in such a way that things that aren't working start to come to the surface. This is even before ceremony. So sometimes before medicine ceremonies, shit just goes wrong. It just goes wrong. You're psychologically, emotionally, and physically a mess. This can happen, especially when there's a big healing that's about to happen. Now, I am particularly sensitive to the medicine. I am particularly sensitive in general. And so what I'm sharing, you know, those that really use the medicine to awaken experience things like I've experienced, not everybody does. And so I just want to point that out, right? This is my unique experience and why I find medicine ceremonies to be so paramount to my awakening and to my healing. So the ceremony was on a Saturday, and it was one that I was organizing. So I was organizing it as an organizer, as a host. And the shaman obviously was leading it. I wasn't leading it, but I was putting it all together. And my teacher, Carrie, the shaman, was staying with me in my home as well. And then I was also having my cousin come from Australia, who I see every 4 years or so. And he's like my brother from another mother. We're really close, but don't see each other nearly enough. He was coming that week too. Just that was the timing. And so what started to happen was the Thursday before the ceremony, everything was converging. Carrie was coming. My cousin Adrian was coming. Everything was happening all at the same time. And so my patterned nervous system response of overwhelm started to appear. It just felt like everything was happening at the same exact time. And there was just no space. I didn't know how I was going to do it all. I was a little nervous about having my shaman and my cousin staying in my house. Did I have enough room for everyone? Is that weird? Is it going to be comfortable? I'm, you know, preparing for a ceremony. I have to close the studio for a day and a half, which I never do. You know, how will the community respond? Will people be upset? Will I get emails? All these things. Often my pattern is to worry about how other people will respond or act or feel. And then what happened was we found out that Ailey's high school graduation ceremony, which I had thought was, I don't know why I thought this, maybe because my high school ceremony was on a Sunday, which I thought was on Sunday. I thought would be on Sunday. Anyway, turns out the high school ceremony, my graduation ceremony, was on a Thursday. The same night everybody was converging onto my home as house guests. And in my mind, when I found out this information from her mom with about 5 days' notice, I can't tell you what I did. I just blocked it out. In my mind, I thought, oh, well, I can't go. I can't go then. I got too much going on. I can't go. And it was almost as if I just sort of, it was just one thing too much. It was just one thing too much. This is her high school graduation. And I didn't put it on my radar. And I don't know why, really, I didn't. In hindsight, I'm starting to see why, how the orchestra and the harmony of decisions and circumstances and experience all formed together for an awakening. But then I was really asleep. This week I was like, it was like I was sound asleep, or it was like I was immersed in my mind, in my thinking, in my righteousness of being right. And so my husband, obviously, noticed that I didn't have this graduation ceremony on my radar, and I was choosing not to go. He became furious with me, like, stopped talking to me, like, was really, really, really mad. And my husband and I are absolutely really close, actually. And we don't have that experience very often. And it was jarring to have him get so mad at me. And rather than see his position, I just sort of doubled down on my own overwhelm and was mad at him for not seeing how overwhelmed I was. And so this went on for about 4 days. And it was like one of those situations where you just can't see straight. And I just cried my freaking brain out every day and just felt how unfair this all was. And it was all really about me. It was really selfish, actually. I didn't see that because I was too in my suffering and in my overwhelm. I mean, I was in this cloud of overwhelm, really. And ultimately, I got my shit together and I went to the graduation, and my cousin and my shaman were perfectly fine hanging out in the house for a few hours while we went to graduation. And all of this craziness that was in my mind and all these obstacles and all these reasons why I couldn't go didn't exist. They weren't real. They were made up in my mind for reasons I don't even understand. But ultimately, you know, all's well that ends well, I guess. I went to the graduation ceremony, and Ailey has absolutely no idea that any of this happened, by the way. And she doesn't listen to the podcast. Or maybe I'll have her listen to this. I don't know. But I ended up going. And I'm sitting at this graduation ceremony. I'm just sitting on the lawn, and it was a beautiful evening, and my little ones were there, and, you know, my mother-in-law and Ailey's mom and her stepdad, we were all there, and it was really nice. And I thought, what the heck, man? What's wrong with me? Why did I create this chaos this week and create such pain for my husband, create such pain for myself? What's up? And I didn't know the answer. But I knew that I sort of really messed up. I messed that week up. You know, I messed up. And ceremony came on Saturday. And a San Pedro ceremony, a traditional San Pedro ceremony, I think is well, it's done outside, but we did it in the yoga studio. And it's done verbally. So you process your pain, your story, through prayer and through speaking your story. And we go through the directions. We begin with the self, the father, the intellect, the mind, the element of air. And we move through the directions, and then comes the earth, or the body. And then the north is the mother, or emotions, water. And then the east is the teacher and the medicine. And everybody shares within each of these directions. And I can't remember specifically what I shared, but I know I shared this story. I shared this week. And I do believe I shared it in the direction of the mother. Because Well, being a mom of three different girls, three different ways, one stepchild, one adopted child, one biological child, is kind of hard. And I guess I was seeking forgiveness for the pain and the confusion that I had caused that week. And so I prayed for forgiveness and cried a lot. But what came from the ceremony, without the details of the emotional purge, right? Ultimately, we ask ourselves, what comes out of this? What is the purpose of this? And I gained an understanding, deep, deep understanding of how to love more. Where in my life I was holding tight to protecting myself and not being vulnerable and not showing my true self, where I could love more. This is what this ceremony taught me. It also taught me that it was up to me to heal my relationship with Ailey, because I'm the grown-up here. It's my job. I'm the mother. It's my job. It's my job to love unconditionally. Whether or not she considers me her mother, that doesn't matter. It's my job to accept her, to love her, and to honor her, who she is. And to tell her that. See, there's where I had gone wrong. I wasn't telling her that enough. I was too busy reminding her to do the laundry or to put the dishes away or to, you know, stay off her phone at certain times of day, right? I was too busy being a bitchy boss, frankly. I wasn't connecting. And I wasn't connecting because I knew she didn't consider me her mother. And I wasn't sure if she wanted to be my friend. So I was defensive. And I was fearful. And this ceremony taught me that that was all nonsense. And it showed me how to love more. Her in particular. And so that's all well and good, right? To have those awarenesses in a medicine ceremony and to come out of a medicine ceremony with an awareness. But then comes the integration. Then comes, how do I do that? When will I do that? What will that look like? Well, for me, it looks like me just being softer. Me seeking out more opportunities to hang out with her, you know, alone, connect with her. Me being more open and authentic about myself and my pain and my vulnerabilities and my fears. Me not trying to control every damn thing all the time. And so integration, after a medicine ceremony, it's a long-term thing, right? It's not just like, poof, oh, okay, I'm just going to love more and then go back to the way things were. That's not how it works. Now comes the effort. Now comes the effort of me seeing in real time when I'm not loving enough. Even though there's love in my heart, right? Love is an action. Love is to be acted upon. And so I can feel tons of love and affection and softness in my heart. But if I don't act that way, If I'm just being a bossy person, just trying to get a clean household, and I'm not really being soft or fun or myself, then that's not integration, right? That's just staying the same. But now I have an awareness of how I was being. Maybe it was an awareness of how she was seeing me. I'm not really sure. I can only control myself. I can only control my actions and how I love. And so, ironically, she's been in Europe for the past 4 weeks. I didn't see her after the ceremony. I haven't seen her. I won't see her until early August. So I have a month to really meditate on this, to really think about this, and to really, you know, it's a little bit of a nervous buildup, you know? And so, I don't know, maybe I'll have her listen to this podcast. I don't know, maybe not. But it's emotional. It's opening. And we spend a lot of time in our lives being right or righteous or trying to control things, including our children. Especially our children, because we want certain outcomes. We feel a responsibility to teach them certain things. And I'm really wrong about that. It's not my responsibility to teach. It's my responsibility to show. Because children learn through what you do, not what you say. And if I can be as open and as loving and as vulnerable and as authentic with her than I am with the 7-year-old and the 10-year-old, then I'm making strides to loving more, to being more loving. It's always up to us. How much we love and how much love we invite into our lives is always up to us. And when we're not experiencing love in the way that we want to experience it, the only thing to do is to ask ourselves, how can I love more? Not to curl up into a protective shell, but to open up, to love more, without an expectation about what we will receive. This is what I learned. And I didn't learn it intellectually in this ceremony. I learned it in my heart. I can feel it. I'm talking about it, and I'm really working very hard not to cry through this podcast. But this, you know, this is life. This medicine, this beautiful medicine, can show us where we can just live a better life for ourselves, for our families. And I'm just so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to sit in circle with other women. This circle was a women's circle. And share. And share completely unedited from my heart and be received without judgment with unbelievable empathy and compassion. And to release. And to release what I don't need, which ultimately was my fear that she doesn't love me.
And so I let that go. And then it turns out that this podcast is a bit of a healing too. Gosh. I'll end there today. With an invitation for all of you listening to ask yourself, how can I love more? Where in my life can I love more? This is always the question, my friends. Always the question. Where can I love more? Sat Nam. Namaste. Peace out.